Idaho residents elected a new governor, a new lieutenant governor, and decided on a pair of voter initiatives at the polls Tuesday. Matt Gillum spoke to BYU Idaho political science professor Matthew Miles about the election and started by asking what most stood out to him.
I think the most surprising result is how well Proposition 2 did statewide. I think that there were a lot of people that thought that Proposition 2 had a chance to win, but given the inaction of the legislature for so many years on Medicaid expansion and given the kind of anti-Obamacare sentiment that's been in the state of Idaho for so many years, it's surprising that Prop 2 did so well.
So a decisive victory for Medicaid expansion. Anything else?
I think everything else is kind of what you would expect to see in the state of Idaho. Voter turnout numbers are up, which you would normally think would benefit the Democrats. And I guess to some extent the Democrats did a little bit better, but not remarkably better and not as much better as you would expect given the higher turnout numbers.
We'll get to a little bit more on voting numbers in just a couple of minutes. I want to touch on the governor's race. Brad Little beat Paulette Jordan for the governor's seat. How do you think their campaigns were run now that it is in the rearview mirror?
I think that Paulette Jordan actually missed out on an opportunity to expand the Democratic voting base in the state of Idaho. I think that if you look at how she performed relative to previous Democrats that have run against Republican governors, she did about what you would expect a Democrat to do and maybe a little bit worse. Given the enthusiasm there was for Proposition 2, I feel like the Democrats across the board missed out on an opportunity to expand their voter base. They could have messaged things a little bit differently to really generate some enthusiasm for the Democratic candidates.
Do you think that Jordan was at all impacted by the state's Democratic establishment sort of distancing themselves from her for much of the campaign?
I think that Paulette, whatever she was hurt by the state Democrats kind of distancing themselves from her, she benefited from kind of the national support. I wouldn't blame the statewide Democratic apparatus for what happened with Paulette Jordan. I think if you look at her debate performance, you look at the way she handled questions from the media, you look at the way that she kind of handled her campaign, maybe she just wasn't polished. Maybe she didn't have a good campaign kind of apparatus around her.
Well, you're out in eastern Idaho, and I'm wondering, were there any big shakeups or surprises in the elections out your way?
So I think what's interesting is even though Republicans dominated, which is not unusual, you have kind of a new brand of Republican coming into the state legislature. So Gary Marshall in the District 30, he's a lifelong educator, and he's conservative, clearly, but he's a pro-education conservative. Same with Doug Ricks in 34A. You're seeing a change in which kind of Republicans are going to the legislature from eastern Idaho. I think that that bodes well for Brad Little and his education plans. He promised to act on education and to prove educational services in Idaho. He claimed that he had the votes in the legislature to get it done. And I think that the results from eastern Idaho suggest that, yeah, there might be some movement on education.
Well, as we touched on just a few moments ago, we were talking about turnout. Turnout in Ada County was huge. It was 78%. What was the turnout like in your part of the state?
Turnout was way up. So in Bonneville County, it was up 69% over the 2014 election. In Madison County, it was up 48% over the 2014 election. So yeah, turnout numbers are up overall. If you look at it as a percentage of the population, though, it's still pretty abysmal, right? We only had, if you look at the total numbers of votes in Idaho to the population, you still only had about 33% of the population voting.
What do you make of the failure of Prop 1, the push to legalize historic horse racing in Idaho?
I think that in the lead up to this election, there was a lot of talk that Proposition 1 would not pass constitutional muster. I think that that alone was enough to kill Proposition 1. I think there was a lot of money spent on both sides, and it's hard to say whether it's a gambling, anti-gambling vote, whether it's a pro-Native American tribes vote, but there were enough people concerned about the constitutionality of Prop 1 that was enough to defeat it.
Well, lastly, you were saying turnout was not as much of a wave as we perhaps thought it would be given the energy behind this election. I'm wondering what you make of the fact progressive gubernatorial candidate Paulette Jordan and political newcomer Kristen Collum, she ran to be the lieutenant governor, both of those women were defeated. What do you see in their political futures?
I think that they will be like all of the other previous Democratic people that have run for office. They'll have to kind of assess where they are and what they hope to accomplish in the future. If I were the campaign managers for either of those campaigns, the discussion I would be having with them is, what do we do to expand the voter base of the Democratic Party? Because it seems like 40% is sort of the limit for the Democratic Party in the state of Idaho right now. And unless new voters get brought in, the Democratic Party doesn't have much of a chance.
Matthew Miles, BYU-Idaho political science professor, thank you so much for taking the time today to look back at the election results and give us some analysis.
Sure, my pleasure.